come and find the quiet center. Doesn't that sound nice? But actually, that's easier said than done, or in this case, easier sung than done, because lots of times it seems like life is rather hectic, and it can get overwhelming at times. It might be just a little bit like this video has to say.
Life is a strange thing. Some people say that life is a gift. Others say life is random.
What are the odds?
In either case, life is something we wrestle with every day. Sometimes life is great.
Life number one!
We see that life is short and are determined not to let life pass us by. We live each day squeezing every last drop out of our one and only life. We love life. And walk around totally high on life.
Now that's the good stuff.
Especially when you find the love of your life and make a new life together. Life is never quite the same after that. And pretty soon you experience the joy of bringing a new life into the world.
Ew.
But that's when life can get complicated. Suddenly, your life isn't the only life you have to worry about. Life can get a little routine, predictable, sometimes plain boring. And you can even start to feel trapped by life.
No.
You wonder, what happened to my life?
What happened to you?
How did my life get like this?
How'd you get like this?
And next thing you know, you're having a midlife crisis.
I want a Corvette.
To make matters worse, you start to worry about your kids' life. You try to shape their life and give their life some direction. But all they care about is their social life.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Hello? Oh, hey, Susie. Yeah, I'd love to come over and study.
And the more you try to help them, the more they say things like, "This is my life," or "Stop ruining my life." But you can't help thinking they are taking their life for granted. Yep, life can be confusing. It can make you mad. And sometimes life stinks.
Dude.
You look at life and wonder...
What's your point, huh, tough guy? You got a point? I want to know it.
You can feel beaten down by life.
Hey.
Crushed by life.
Oh.
Your life starts spinning out of control, and you can't get your life back on track. You start to think, is this all life has to offer?
You're only making them angrier!
But nothing puts life in perspective like a near-death experience.
Run for your life!
Then you cling to life. You realize that life is precious.
You are so precious.
Life is sweet. You say, I have a new lease on life.
Booyah!
My life will never be the same.
Yeah!
And if you're lucky, you may even find your life's purpose. Or not. Either way, one thing's for sure. Whether it's long or short, happy or sad, dull or stressful, life is the best thing that ever happened to us. And you can bet your life on that.
I thought that was a cute, clever little way to realize that life is a lot of different things. You know, there are times that life can be overwhelming. There are times that we can feel beaten down by life. There are times we can even be bored by life. But near-death experiences have a way of putting things in perspective. And there's nothing like a near-death experience to help us realize how much we love life. Gary Smalley, in the video that you will see if you stay for the small group, shares about his own near-death experience and how it changed his life and three things that he does every day since then that have just enriched his life immensely. I'm not going to tell you about it because you have to go to the small groups to be able to see it. But I know that there are some of you, perhaps, who have had some near-death experiences as well. And you'll have an opportunity if you want to share about those or share about someone else who you know that might have had a near-death experience. Those near-death experiences do have a way of helping us to realize that we need to embrace life and how wonderful life is. But there's another kind of experience that helps us to realize a special love for life that many people are having at this point, and that is when we find out that we have a terminal illness. Now, with the increase in medical science, with their abilities, they are now able sometimes under certain circumstances to say, this is how much longer you have to live. And when someone is given that news that they are terminally ill, it's devastating, of course. But then there is also another thing that happens as we know that we have this terminal illness, and that is that some very special things happen. How many of you saw The Bucket List? Did you see this movie? Only one, two, three? Go see this movie. This is a really good movie. This is the critics I know said it wasn't so good, but they're wrong, right? Didn't you, those of you that saw it, you liked it, didn't you? I haven't seen anybody that didn't like it once they went. But it's a story about these two guys that get the news that they are going to die because they have a terminal illness. And so they decide to set out and do some of the things on their bucket list. Now, a bucket list, you have a bucket list, it's a list of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket, right? And it's just a funny, it's a fun movie, but it inspires us. We now have a bucket list. We have some things that we want to do before we kick the bucket, so we're going to do those things too. So it's a fun movie. Yeah, I don't know. Is it still on in the movie theaters? If not, rent it. I don't know. But don't believe the critics. It's a good movie. But there's also another song that came out about 4 years ago. I don't know if the bucket list was made because of this song or not, but there's a lot of similarities. Actually, it's a song that just was an overnight hit in the country and western scene, and it won a Grammy in 2004. It starts with a story about a guy who was in his 40s with lots of life to live, and he gets the news that he's dying. And they said, well, what would you do if this is really true? I'm not going to play the whole song for you, but just part of it. And it's his, this is his reply to the question, what would you do if this is really what's going to happen? And he responds with these words.
Rocky Mountain climbing.
Well, that's part of the song. That's a really powerful song. I wondered how many of you have heard that before. Are you several of you? All right. So those of you that have had that listened to country and western, it was a really big hit. But it was made by Tim McGraw, and he made it around the time that his dad, Tug McGraw, died. Tug McGraw was a baseball player, and a lot of people thought that that's why he made it. But actually, it wasn't exactly like that. He said, "I love this song because I believe that everyone who hears it will have their own unique reaction to it. Each person has his or her definition of what it means to live like you were dying. That's what makes it such a great song. It's not about my personal connection, although obviously there is one. It's about you connect and how you connect to it. And it is about us, how we connect to it. We've all had experience of knowing someone who had a terminal illness, knowing how special those moments are with them. It's that line, though, that says, and he said, someday I hope you will get the chance to live like you are dying. Now, it's like that's a good thing to live like you were dying. You know, when we say, is it a good thing? Well, it certainly doesn't seem like it's a good thing to be told you have a terminal illness. But is it not true that we all are terminal? We all will die at some point. And so we need to realize that. We need to realize life will not go on, this earthly life will not go on forever and ever. There will be a time when our heart stops beating and we stop breathing and the electrical things from our brain will not be able to be measured anymore. There will be time when we physically die. And if we realize that, somehow there's an urgency that comes. The Apostle Paul wanted people to realize that. He said in this scripture, which is our scripture for today, this is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put them on the shining armor of right living. I mean, he's saying the time is running out. Time is running out. We need to realize that we are terminal. Now, of course, last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I was here to proclaim to you that death is defeated, that we no longer have to worry about death, that death is not victorious. Jesus rose from the grave. But that does not mean that we will somehow physically not die. It frees us up to realize that we don't have to fear death because this earthly life is not all that there is. There is more to life than these few short years that we live here. But I also proclaimed to you last week that Easter is not just about life after we die. The good news of Easter is that we can have abundant life now. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete." It's abundant life that we have now. Can we understand that? It's interesting that though that there are times when life seems overwhelming and when we feel like we just don't have things right, but then that's where this song and this scripture that we just read come into play. When we realize that time is running out, that we need to embrace life. We need to embrace life and because life is short and we need to get the most out of life. The irony is that when we realize that we are dying, it wakes us up to the fact that right now we are alive. If we know we are dying right now, though, we are alive. There's a little irony in that that makes us realize that. I added some butterflies to our worship setting, if you noticed, and I did that because butterflies are beautiful. But you know what? Butterflies don't live very long. This difference with different species and the different times of years that they come out of their cocoons, but it reminds us that life doesn't have to be long. to be beautiful. And so as you see these butterflies on the altar during this time that we're looking at this, I want you to be reminded that it's not the length of life that's important. It's how we live life and embrace the life that we have. So let's look at this scripture. It's like this scripture, Paul is saying, you gotta wake up. Wake up. Get with it. Don't you know time is running out? You don't have forever. Wake up, for Pete's sakes. Get with it. Now, Gary Smalley, who does the videos that you will see in the small groups, is the director of the Smalley Relationship Center. And this center uses research to develop tools to help people develop their relationships and work on them, make them better. And as they were looking at various things, they decided that realizing that you're dying can really have a lot of benefits. And they realized the benefits of living like you were dying helps our relationships, helps to deepen our relationships, just like the song said. He said, I finally was the husband that most of the time I wasn't. But when I realized I was dying, I decided I wanted to be that husband that most of the time I wasn't. Or I became a friend that a friend would like to have. These are some pictures that I scanned from a little companion book that you can buy that has the record on it. But I love this picture. I mean, you can be cute and little and have friends. You need a friend. Or you can have a rather mature figure and enjoy swimming and enjoy life as well. So, you know, we need the friends that we want to be. We become a friend that a friend would like to have. Isn't that? That's a nice way of saying it. This scripture that we look at gives us three important challenges that will help us to embrace life in its fullest. So I'd like us to look at this scripture and see what we can do to embrace life in its fullness. First of all, Paul says, this is urgent. You gotta wake up. The time is running out. So the first thing that we do to get the most out of life, to embrace life, is to live with a sense of urgency. Urgency. Now. Things are happening now. We've been given today. So let's not waste today. Do you know what the most dangerous, or one of the most, I suppose, dangerous words in our vocabulary is, according to this book? Someday. Someday. How many times do we say, well, someday, someday I'll do this. Someday I'll work out that problem I had with my brother. Someday I'll go on that trip I've been wanting to go on. Someday I'll go back to school. Someday I'll tell my friend about Jesus. Someday I'll be more active in church. Someday I'll help with that homeless week, but I just can't do it this year, you know. Someday. The problem is that someday robs us of today. We don't know how many days we have. What we know we have is today. So let's not put off someday and do the things that we want until we can just get around to it. You know, a funny little gift that we used to give, you remember these things? People, that was kind of a big thing not too long ago, that people would give you this little round wooden disc and say, I know you don't seem to be able to get around to it, but I'm giving you a round to it. Round to it. How many of you remember seeing those? Now, if I'd have been thinking soon enough, I would have liked to have given you all a round to it today with on the back your verse, your Bible verse that you're supposed to meditate on this week, saying, teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. That's what we need to do. We need to get around to using our time in the best way that we can. We need to use our time and get around to the really important things in life. There was another song long time ago when Bob and I were raising when our children were young. that some of you might remember. It was in a it was up for a Grammy in 1974 called Cats in the Cradle. Do you remember that song, Cats in the Cradle? It was a song about a father who wasn't there when his child was born or learned to talk or learned to walk or whatever, but the little boy loved his dad, and he says, "I'm going to be just like you, Dad. I'm just going to be just like you." And then the little boy added, "When are you coming home, Dad?" You remember what the father's reply was? It was, "When I get around to it," really, right? It says, "I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then." That song challenged us in a really important way that we need to spend time, because the song ends with the father finally having time to get with his son. But by that time, the son has grown up. And what does the son say? "Oh, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then," because the son turned out to be just like his dad. Well, it's been recently made, in 2004, Daryl McDaniels made his own version on a rap form. And I'm kind of glad about that. Not that I really understand rap, but, you know, the people who listen to rap need to listen to that same kind of song. But the one I like best is the one in 1974 by Harry Chapin. And actually, that was written, it was taken from a poem that his wife, Sandy Chapin, wrote. And it was a poem not about Harry, but rather about her ex-husband's father. It was this man, who was her ex-father-in-law, had really made it big. He hadn't had a lot of education himself, but he made it big. He was the president of one of the boroughs in Brooklyn, and he was rich. And he did everything for his son to give him all the material blessings of life, but he didn't develop a relationship with him. And it was too late, and she knew that. So she wrote this poem, and that was what this song was based on. Well, Harry had seen the poem before, but he kind of put it aside. But then when his son, Josh, was born, he found that poem again, and he thought, "Whoa, this is an important poem," and then he made the song and made it then. Now, this is a lovely picture of Josh, his son, and Harry Chapin. Now, I was interested because I read a lot about Harry Chapin I didn't know about. He was really a pretty good guy. He did a lot of things, gave away a lot of money to charity. And I don't know whether he really took his song to heart, but I hope so, because I love this picture. I mean, doesn't he look like he's just enjoying his son, and his son is so cute and loves being there with his father? Because maybe some of you know this, but in 1981, Harry Chapin died at age 38, just 7 years after he'd made that song. He was driving and in the fast lane on the expressway, and then suddenly he stopped, and maybe he had a heart attack then, but he veered over in front of a truck, and the truck hit him, and yeah, it was a big thing, but he didn't know how long he had. So his life is a wonderful example, not just this song, but his life is that we don't know how long we have. Life is precious, and we need to use it to the best ability we have today when we have it, not wait until we get around to it. So we need to live with a sense of urgency. And more than that, also, we need to live with a sense of eternity. Realizing that this life is not all there is. There is more to life. There is eternity. As the scripture helps us to say, the day of our salvation is sooner. It's almost here. It's getting here. Now, the day of our salvation, the Greek word that's used here is the day of spiritual and eternal deliverance. In other words, this is the day that we come face to face with God. Judgment Day, some people call it. And of course, that's one day closer than it was yesterday, is it not? It's one day closer than we have. Now, we know that we can never earn our place in heaven. We know that good works are, it's not all that there is. There has to be something more than just good works, because Jesus paid the price on the cross, because we can never do it ourselves. But yet, still, the things that we do here, even though it does not earn us our salvation, what we do with our time here has eternal significance. For Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. And he told a story about a man who had good crops, and he built bigger and bigger and bigger barns so that he could hold all those things, and then he died. And Jesus said, and what good was it? This is like for those people who store up for themselves things for themselves and have no relationship with God. They're empty in their relationship with God. So the things that we do here have eternal significance in the great beyond. We don't know how that works, but I often think of this story. Now, this story is an old story. I know you may have heard it, but I tell myself this story a lot. But it's a story of the guy who died and went to heaven, and St. Peter welcomed him and opened a door to heaven and said, come on in. And he said, we have a place prepared for you. So the guy goes on into heaven. Okay, here I am. And as he's going, St. Peter is taking him to his home. They pass a beautiful mansion over here. And St. Peter says, oh, that's where Sally, your maid, lives. And he said, whoa, that's where Sally, my maid, lives. That's pretty good. So he goes on. And St. Peter points out other people and where they're living, people he's known, and people who are much less of a person than he was, less important than he is. And so he's thinking, wow, I'm going to have a great mansion. But they get to the edge of the city, and there is a shack for him. He said, this is for your place. And he said, well, how come, why did I get a shack and they all got mansions and all that's true? And St. Peter says, well, I'm sorry, but that's the best we could do with the materials you sent up. The things we do here have eternal significance. I don't know how it's going to work in heaven, but I tell myself this story oftentimes when I do something and I don't get the praise that I think I should, or you know, I give somebody money and they squander it and they don't do what they should do with it, and I can get upset. But then I somehow tell myself this story and I think, well, Diana, maybe you just made another brick made your shack a little bit better up there in heaven. You know, the things that we do here have eternal significance. So we need to live with both a sense of urgency and a sense of eternity. And it kind of gives us this kind of bifocal vision where we have one eye on eternity and one eye on today. And when we have that kind of bifocal vision, realizing that we live with urgency today, we have this day, and yet we have eternity, somehow that helps us to have put things in a better priority. Which is what we need to do. We need to put first things first, better priority. And that's what this last part of our scripture for today says. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put the shining armor of right living on. I kind of like that, you know, taking off your dirty clothes and putting on your new clothes. And then the next verse that he has, he says, don't participate in wild parties. No wild parties. None of you went to wild parties last night, did you? And getting drunk, or adultery and immoral living, or in fighting and jealousy. Let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of you, and don't think of ways to indulge your evil desires. Does any of that sound a little familiar to you? Do you remember this that I gave you last week? Do you remember this is the bulletin insert? I told you to do what with it? To take it home and put it by your... You forgot? You forgot. Oh, God, make that another brick in my mansion up there. I don't know. You're supposed to take it home, even though you didn't listen to me. You're supposed to take it home, put it by your bed, and look at it, because that told you things not to do. No fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk. Do not lie to one. Now, isn't that kind of just the same thing that we had? You know, he said this to the Corinthians. He said this to the Romans. No, I'm sorry. He said this to the Colossians, this to the Romans, He said similar things to the Corinthians too. And to us, he says it over and over and over again. It's like he's saying, read my lips. What part of no do you not understand? Just stop it. Stop that kind of behavior. Stop it. Put it aside. Put on the clean clothes. So we need to live with a sense of urgency. We need to live with a sense of eternity. We need to get our priorities right with this bifocal vision of keeping our eye on eternity and keeping our eye on today as well. And when we do that, then we can embrace eternity. We're going to be looking the next few weeks at some of the things that this song says about speaking sweeter. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. And then the week after that about loving deeper. And the week after that about forgiving the forgiveness that we've been denying. These are important things that this song brings out to us that will help us to embrace life in a new way. But I'm going to give you an assignment today. Not only are you supposed to meditate on that verse that's on the front cover and you're supposed to go to a small group, I want to give you another assignment, and I want you so that when you come back here next week, you can say, look at each other in the eye and say, I have had a no regrets week. You think you could do that? Say, I've had no regrets. I have embraced life fully. I've not taken a day for granted. I've not taken my friends for granted, my husband for granted, my wife for granted. I've not taken life for granted. I have lived each moment, and I have done the best I could with each moment, so I have no regrets. Let's see if we can't do that and live like we were dying.